Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Carla Provost, Acting Chief of the U.S. Border Patrol within the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Don Finhagen. Carla, you mentioned that the Border Patrol just celebrated its
93rd birthday.
So to that end, I'd like to get a sense of what your strategic vision is for the Border Patrol. And would you briefly outline some of your core priorities?
So, I mean, our overarching priority is securing the border. And we do that through attempting to obtain operational control. Operational control is a term that I know you all have heard. We've used it in the past. The Border Patrol created operational control, and under the current administration, that has made it into some of the president's executive orders. When we talk operational control, we're really talking about expanding our situational awareness, improving our capabilities in impedance and denial, and then bringing a law enforcement response to whatever it is that is, whether we're making an apprehension, an arrest, whatever is crossing the border, and bringing it to a resolution. So that takes the men and women portion of it. So in simplest of terms, border security, as I said earlier, securing the nation from those who would do us harm are our ultimate goal, and it really is our overlying priority for our strategy. We couldn't do it without the frontline men and women. That's the other portion of that model. We have to have the agents that can go out and make the apprehensions and bring that law enforcement resolution to whatever it is that's trying to cross our borders.
Clearly, as you know, your priorities line up fairly well with the next question, because I think border and immigration security are the keys to the Trump administration agenda. What do you see as the most serious threats and critical trends that are shaping and informing your strategy?
Certainly. Well, the transnational criminal organizations that work along the border, of course, are of huge concern to us. Mm-hmm. And that, whether it be alien smuggling organizations or drug smuggling organizations, obviously the threat that they pose to the nation is of great concern to us. So when it comes to the narcotics that are being smuggled into the country, the trends are shifting there as of late, and we've, of course, have some concern about the hard narcotics that are coming across the border, whether it be methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, fentanyl. So that is certainly a trend that we are watching very closely, that we work with our partners in the intelligence community as we attempt to affect those transnational criminal organizations. Same with the alien smuggling. As you have seen, of course, in some of the media, we are always concerned about that. They don't care about the individuals that they're smuggling across the border, and it is certainly a concern for us. We have created units such as our BORSTAR unit, which is a border search, trauma, and rescue unit in response to some of the tactics, techniques that the alien smugglers use. Mm-hmm. So those are our main areas of concern. And of course, concerned about any of those that would bring anyone across that is looking to do more harm to terrorist threat to the country.
So, you know, to fully implement a risk-informed and intelligence-driven operation for your organization, you really need to continually enhance your situational awareness, correct?
Yep,
and
definitely.
So what is being done to build and sustain that?
Well, we work very closely with all of our other law enforcement partners, both federal, state, and local. We also work very closely with the intelligence community. That situational awareness is obtained through numerous things, whether it's through human intelligence, through signals intelligence. Working with our partners is really key to improving that situational awareness. Along with that is the technology that supports our efforts when it comes to detection, classification, identification of things that may be crossing our border. So we really work all of that together really helps enhance our situational awareness.
Yeah, and just the nature of your business, requires the operation of mobile tactical equipment. You know, you have people out in the middle of nowhere in harm's way and, you know, needing special equipment that the rest of the Department of Homeland Security may not always need. So can you elaborate on some of the investments being made to enhance your communication, transportation, and surveillance capabilities?
Certainly. So we have investments in numerous areas. First and foremost, we have agent portable surveillance systems, which provide tactical man-portable solutions for detection, identification, and classification. We have multiple mobile video surveillance capabilities that we utilize. Those provide both near and long-range mobile surveillance, whether it be with radar, with cameras. We have as things as simple as night vision goggles for our men and women. We also have integrated fixed towers that provide both radar and camera, remote video surveillance systems, which is something that we have utilized since I joined the Border Patrol, but still to this day have infrared nighttime cameras that support our efforts, numerous types of sensors that help us in this area. So we're really expanding our footprint on both fixed and mobile capabilities for our men and women.
And do you feel that you have what you need and have the plans in place to get what you need moving forward?
I think we're in a very good place right now. We are always looking for new innovation and technology to support. There are certain areas that we are expanding into, like small unmanned aerial systems right now. That's something that we are piloting that we are very hopeful will bring a benefit to our men and women out in the field. But we always look to industry to support other efforts to increase our ability to detect, identify, and classify.
So your agency continues to deploy proven, effective technology to strengthen the border security operations between the ports in the land, air, and maritime environments. Can you tell us any more about any of the investments being made between ports of entry? Or have you kind of covered that already?
Certainly. I think I covered a lot of it. As I said before, the integrated fixed towers, the remote video surveillance systems. Something I didn't mention were the tactical aerostats and the relocatable towers.
Oh, interesting.
A little more of a mobile aspect. I wouldn't call them mobile, but relocatable. We're also moving into fiber optics detection to assist along the border area and looking forward to seeing what that brings to the table.
You know, there's been a lot of talk, and I wanted to see if you can give us any insights into CBP's efforts to plan, design, and construct a physical wall on the southern border. What are you doing to work with industry and partner with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers? And what's the status so far?
Certainly. So in my 22 and a half years in the Border Patrol, barriers have been part of a system that we utilize. A few years ago, you may have learned or have heard us speaking about what we call the three-legged stool, which was the right mixture of infrastructure and the wall or the barrier fell into that, technology and personnel. Today, we have a gap analysis process that has 12 master capabilities in it, but four that really, really focus on the wall. And those four are domain awareness, which is provided through the technology, mission readiness, which is provided by the men and women, access and mobility through the roads, and then impedance and denial, which is the wall. But you need all of those in a certain mixture in different locations. The border is very diverse, and there's really a no one size fits all. But we look at those four master capabilities as we determine where we place wall, where it makes the most sense for impedance and denial. And currently, we are working very closely with the Corps of Engineers. As you said, we've in the past, of course, put up nearly 700 miles of barrier. And we are looking to expand that in areas where wall makes the most sense. There are numerous things that influence it. For instance, there may be locations that barrier does not make sense. We have to consider the environmental impacts, land access rights, community impacts, and the safety of our men and women as they work along the border as well. But we are, as I said, working with the Corps of Engineers and many others to figure out exactly where that wall makes sense.
So, you know, I was wondering, how has the Border Patrol responded to the migrant surges that are occurring?
So I think the key thing there is that we're flexible. We've had different surges in the past, and I think some of the most recent ones were the unaccompanied children surge that was in 2014 and once again this last year in 2016, as well as family unit surge from the Northern Triangle countries. So there are many things we do. First and foremost, we're expanding our borders by we are working internationally with those countries to see what we can do to support in that arena. Also, as I spoke earlier about some of the mobile technology that we are utilizing, that is a huge benefit to us in the aspect that we can move it where the risk or where the threat is. At the same time, we also move our resources. During those surges in the past, specifically in the South Texas portion and in the area known as the Rio Grande Valley sector for us, we have brought agents and officers in to those locations and on temporary assignment to help support the efforts in that area. So having a mobile workforce, having the mobile technology to assist us, and really ultimately figuring out where that permanent barrier works best for us helps when it comes to the migrant surges as well. And then we work with our partners in ICE enforcement and removal operations and Health and Human Services when it came to the children and the surges there.
How is the U.S. Border Patrol pursuing innovative strategies to secure the U.S. border? We will ask Carla Provost, acting chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.